Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Okay, we're recording.
Aloha, aloha,
aloha,
aloha,
aloha,
aloha, aloha, aloha,
aloha,
aloha,
aloha,
aloha.
Oh, yeah.
There's no place I'd rather be. I surf till the sun sets beyond the horizon. Flying by on the Hawaiian roller coaster ride.
Oh, yeah. Love this.
Abiki biki maido hido
hido.
La la la. Hit it, hit it, my tattoo
hit. Hawaiian
roller coaster ride. There's no place to be.
Down the seashore,
driving free. Bungalow time is where I live.
And if I only had my way,
I'd play till the sun sets beyond the horizon.
La la la, la la la,
only. It's time to try the Hawaiian roller coaster ride.
We could just let this play.
Dude,
this is just phenomenal.
Well, we better start talking here.
This is amazing. Words can't describe just how beautiful it is right now.
Oh, no, words can definitely describe.
Oh, they don't do it justice.
Totally tubular.
Tubular.
Yeah. Gnarly. You know, kind of thing.
We're down here at Kamanawanalea Beach.
Oh, I love it. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to a wonderful day, actually.
It's called Your Weekly Dose.
Yeah, it is. We're just, I don't know, I just love it when we come down here. Happy Saturday, everybody, to all of you. And Steve's here.
Hey.
Zach is here, producer Zach. And I am Sean Robbins, your host. We are Your Weekly Dose podcast. And, of course, we're streaming to you live from Orange County. And, boy, it is the most beautiful part of Orange County because we are at Boca Chica State Beach.
Whoa!
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We are on the beach, guys, and it is so awesome. We are here down for the AWOW event once again. Our dear friend, Jeff Swampy Marsh, co-creator of Phineas and Ferb, invites us every year. Last year was our first year we actually got to broadcast it. This is year two for us. Swampy's not here, though, because he's over at D23.
Oh, it's that Disney thing.
Yeah, but you know what? That's okay. We love him anyway. But we're here for the organization, which is a walk on water. It is a surf therapy for anybody who needs it. Paraplegics, kids who have autism. You know what? Play the song again.
Okay.
That's just so good.
Is great music.
You know, anybody who really needs it, kids who have autism, kids who are Down syndrome, whatever, this surf therapy is just so damn good. And we're proud to be part of it every year now.
Absolutely. And, you know, everybody, thank you for joining us today. You could actually join us. We're going to be here till probably around 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Come down to Boca State Beach. If nothing else, just to see what this charity event is. It's huge. There are so many people here. They take these kids out here and surfing all day and other beach activities, and they have food and just a great family day at the beach for families that have some kind of special needs child.
Right.
Or adults even.
Yeah, so, exactly.
It's amazing. We're right next to the
Number 22.
Number 22 lifeguard tower.
Right. And so, like, yeah, like Tom said, they've even had soldiers who have, was it PSD or whatever? You know,
PTSD.
PTSD. They brought them out here for the surf therapy also. So this is just, like, again, Steve and I cannot, you know, talking about this enough in so many different ways, and we might be repetitive throughout the show today.
Yeah.
Because this is just an awesome event. So, anyway, we've got a busy show. Not only are we down here live, but we're going to be giving out a bunch of facts today. Surfing facts, Boca Chica facts. We're going to be talking about our top surfer movies, our favorite movies about surfing, surfing fun facts, reasons why surfboards are actually better than women, believe it or not. I think Zach might be interested in that one. So, and then later on we got a pocket-sized cinema, and we might have a few guests also a little bit later on.
I hope we get to talk to one of the athletes like we did last year.
Oh, God, that kid was so cool.
I can't remember what his name was, but he was going to teach us how to surf.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely. And he was hysterical. I loved him. He was awesome. So we definitely got a busy show. But if you go to... where am I at right now on our strip? Holy cow.
Whoa.
Oh, you can interact.
Dang it.
Yeah. Don't forget, guys, you can interact with the show, commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, at yourweeklydose1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. Not only can you download the show for free from our website, you can also subscribe to the show through the iTunes, Podbean.com, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. And now... we are now officially on Spotify.
Oh.
We are now on Spotify, guys, so...
can we have a... woo-hoo!
There we go. Yeah.
Mahalo for the boost there, I'll tell you.
We are now officially on Spotify, so catch us out on that. And most importantly, please don't forget to rate and review the show. That's very, very important for us.
And you can come down personally and rate and review the show with us. So.
Oh, yeah, and then don't forget to wear your bikinis, just, too, and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is here.
Yeah, all the guys that would come down, wear your bikini. It'll look sweet.
Steve and I are wearing ours right now.
That's right. We stand out pretty well, too.
We do. We absolutely do. Well, I have an A cup, so, you know, I don't mind.
I have
I can push mine together and make a good B.
But it has coffee in it. I have a C cup because I didn't do well in high school.
You have a C cup?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't look like you have a C.
That's right. Get a hold of that.
Let me see that.
That's, what?
No, that's like mine. I'm an A. I'm an A.
You're
an A. I'm an A.
Give yourself more confidence.
I'm a total A, you know. With my nipples out, hard erect or whatever, you think I might have a B, but no, it's an A. it's an A. Trust me, it's an A. So, hey, don't forget, Amazon. Wow, my mic is really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon, please go to our website and click on our Amazon banner. Basically, every time you guys shop there and use it, we get a little bit of a kickback. It helps us stay on the air, basically. We've done that for 2.5 years. We can't thank Amazon enough. And I'm sure if you go on Amazon right now, hey, plane's going by. If you go on Amazon right now, squirrel. If you go on Amazon and look up surfing, I'm sure you're going to find everything you need for your surfing needs.
Actually, here is something right here. It is called the Rio Brands Deluxe Wonder Wheeler Wide Blueprint. It's, oh my goodness, this is so cool. It's $70.
Okay,
oh,
that's not bad.
It's like a rolling container, like a cargo ship.
Okay.
Actually, and it's got a netting basket, and you can wheel it around. It's got big wheels in the back for the sand. So you can push it around and it won't bog down. You put all your stuff in it and wheel it across the sand to where you're going without any trouble.
Oh, so it's a big giant...
yeah, see, there it is.
Yeah,
right,
so they're made to go through the sand and everything.
It's made. It's all your beach necessities will fit inside of this. So that's it's got free shipping. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, well, yeah, so, if you got Amazon Prime, might as well.
Of course. Yeah, that's really cool.
So once again, guys, go to yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner. Don't forget to bookmark it. That's the most important thing. And once again, once you do that, you do all your shopping through Amazon. We get a little bit of kickback so the show stays on the air.
Yeah.
2.5 years, Amazon has been with us. They haven't taken us down yet, so we're very happy about that. And we've actually made, I think, what, $150 in the last 2 years. So
we're very proud
of that.
We are on target.
We are on target for a 5-year stretch.
That's right.
To make 300. So, we're real good. And, damn, I got to say, it is so beautiful out here today. The wind is blowing. It is nice. Of course, as always, there's beautiful surfer girls, beautiful surfer men out here. And I'm jealous of them because they've got that six-pack going on where I'm carrying the keg, you know. Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll be playing that later, trust me. It's just nice, a beautiful, beautiful day out here. It's gorgeous. It's not too hot or anything. The wind is blowing, like I said.
And I don't think we can stress enough, this event is a total family event. There are so many, like, kids and adults and everybody hanging out, and bring your whole family. Just a great day at the beach.
Absolutely. And again, the scenery is just magnificent. There's nothing like looking out of the beach, seeing all these kids out there, these special needs kids surfing. And then you look further down, and there's like six oil tankers out off in the distance.
Yeah, they're not tanker trucks.
Yeah, no. The oil tankers. There's like six of them out there, cargo ones or whatever.
It's really cool.
Waiting to get into the port of Long Beach. And if you look over to the right, we can see San Pedro over there.
Wow, look how far we can see today. That's not bad.
No, that's pretty good.
Not bad, yeah.
We can't see Catalina, though, because of looks like there is some fog out there.
Yeah, so. I think it starts with an SM.
No, smoggy. Yeah, right.
It's kind of brown out there.
Is it? I don't know. Wearing sunglasses. But no, like Steve said.
Not too bad.
AWOW, and AWOW basically it stands for Walk on Water. And one of the reasons we got involved is because, once again, our friend Jeff Swampy Marsh, a co-creator of Phineas and Ferb, who's at D23 today, is actually, this is his, not necessarily his organization, but organization that he found, because he's a surfer himself. He loves to go surfing, him and his son Django. And they basically picked to, as this, to be their charity because, like Steve said, it's a family event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just where they help the kids, which all organizations are great that do that. We're not knocking anybody else. But this is where the families can really come out and come together and enjoy the day, you know, because so many things.
There is someone taking off now.
Yeah. Wipeout. And that was the lifeguard. Yeah.
Well, we're getting some pretty good waves going here. There's like five feet.
Five, 6 foot.
Five or 6 feet. Yeah. That's pretty good.
And it's because the special needs kids, I mean, that's 24/7. So for those who have siblings or anything like that, this is the first time they actually get to do something because of their sibling.
Yes. You know, and they get to do it together.
Right. And that's what it's all about, you know, and it is just a beautiful thing. And if Swampy was here right now, he'd be crying because we're talking about
I'm going to cry for him. It's beautiful, man.
It is. It really is a neat thing, and we're just so proud to be a part of it and come down. So, unfortunately, we're missing Swampy this year because, again, he's at D23. I think they had some big announcement, and I can't wait to talk to Paul next week because Paul was there.
And really?
Yeah, he shot me a picture of him, Swampy and Dan behind a big giant Phineas and Ferb thing.
Oh, yeah.
And saying, hey, Swampy and Dan.
Well, isn't there a movie?
They're supposedly talking about a movie, so hopefully that's what it is. They're announcing the big movie. I think Dan's going to be directing it. And so a new Phineas and Ferb, so we can't wait, man. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. Yeah. And of course, Milo Murphy is just hanging, and they're, I think, waiting to find out what's going on, you know, with that.
There's some things going wrong. And, well, you know, they have to.
Well, that's what
it,
Disney, so, though. Yeah. You know, they're trying. They're being Disney.
And it's Milo Murphy. They're things that.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got some. Since we are here at Bolsa Chica State Beach, I think you've got some interesting facts about Bolsa Chica.
I do. Bolsa Chica State Beach is a public ocean beach in Orange County, California, United States. It's located north of Huntington Beach and south of the community of Sunset Beach, which is a really nice place.
A lot of bars, nice bars in there, too.
That is. Used to be, the Red Onion used to be there.
Oh, that's right. Meat market.
Yeah, this beach is used for surf fishing, especially the tidal inlet channel at the southern end. Fish include perch, croaker, cabazon.
Amazon, what?
Camazon.
Oh, okay.
California Corbina. And this is one you're going to like, Sean. This is your favorite right here. It's the shovel nose guitar fish.
Ooh, yeah. I can do two things at the same time.
Now, during the new and full moons, the Grunion Run,
that
they
is
spawn
here?
On the beach. That's the only time they allow open sex on the beach is when the Grunion Run, they just run right up on the beach and go at it.
I didn't know the Grunion Runs were here. Yeah. I thought they were like up towards like Malibu or something. Or
no, they're all along here. You have to have a fishing permit, but you catch them by hand.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, now the beach is 3 miles from Warner Avenue to Sunset Beach South to Sea Point Avenue where the Huntington Beach Huntington City Beach begins. Bolsa Chica Ecological Reserve is located across PCH from where we are now.
Yeah, been there. Very nice.
And it's a popular spot for bird watching.
It is, yeah. Yes, a lot of birds up there.
Very cool. Now, lifeguards are from the California State Parks Lifeguard Service Patrol. They're right there. There's a bunch of them right over there. I love the lifeguards!
Yay, lifeguards!
Woo!
All right, here we go.
All right, now then... They patrol the beach year-round, and lifeguard towers are staffed during the summer. Other recreational activities include surfing and camping. The Bolsa Chica bicycle path runs along the length of Bolsa Chica State Beach through Huntington City Beach. It is designed for leisurely cruises and a speed limit of 5 miles per hour, please. Now, the area that is now I'm having trouble saying Bolsa Chica Steak Beach.
Yeah, you are.
Yes. It was once called the Tin Can Beach by the locals. It's 169 acres that added to the park system in 1960.
Now, do you know why it was called Tin Can Beach?
Tell me, John.
Seriously, you don't know?
Yes, I do, but tell
me. Well, because people just dumped their trash here.
Trash.
And there was a bunch of tin cans around or whatever. So that's that was the whole thing. They called it Tin Can Beach.
Once they added it as a state park, they were able to
clean it up, yeah.
Now, in 1967, a nuclear power and desalination plant. I can say desalination, but not Bolsa Chica State Beach. It was on Bolsa Island, a man-made island off the beach. It was supposed to produce more electricity than the Hoover Dam. However, the plans were abandoned by its chairman, Jack K. Horton, in 1968.
Did he hear a who?
Hear a Horton.
I was thinking that.
Jack K.
I was totally thinking
Horton
that.
Hears a who. In 1968, California Edison was unable to raise sufficient capital despite rate hikes for the sale of common stock. So... once again, something that could bend everybody gets axed because of people wanting too much money.
Probably, yeah.
Anyway, that's Bolsa Chica State Beach. Wait, cool. Said it.
Yeah, hey, that's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. So 1960 it's been here then, huh?
Yes.
I mean, it's been here forever, but I mean, like,
well,
they made it State Beach, though.
That's when it was added to the state park system.
That's cool. Thank you. That's good. That's pretty cool, man.
So everything you ever wanted to know about Bolsa Chica, I almost screwed it up again, State Beach, that's it right there in a nutshell. If we learn anything else, we'll have to amend that.
And rework our vowels.
That's everything. I think my voice is changing again.
But when it's time to change. Sha-na-na-na-na-na-na. Sha-na-na-na-na.
Hey, Roman's going
you.
Through that now, isn't he?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of.
Yeah, just a little bit. Oh, well, you know what? Let's catch up with each other.
Doobie doo.
Hang on, sun's
is
in my
that,
eye.
Is that catching up?
Sun's in my eye. It was. I couldn't see the iPad.
Oh, okay.
Breathe it in.
Okay,
yeah.
Should I tell a joke or are we...
I don't know. I'm just kind of enjoying the beach right now. All right. Let's go ahead and bring down the music a little bit here. So I got an announcement to make.
Oh, good.
I got a email last week.
An email?
Email last week.
I get those.
And it was kind of interesting.
Interesting, yes.
Because I'm part of a... website that promotes musicians, like if you need to join a band or if you're looking for a band.
Website that promotes musicians.
Yeah.
I'm doing my Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon sounds more like Paul Schaefer.
Paul.
And so anyway, so I got this letter or this email from this gal. I guess she has been keeping her eye on me. And
as everybody does,
they do from time to time.
They
yes.
need to.
And anyway, so she invited me or asked me if I would want to join their band. So I was kind of surprised.
Might have an emergency over here.
So, and it was, you know, kind of interesting. I was kind of shocked and surprised. I'm like, holy cow, I've been on this website for a number of years or whatever, but nothing's really ever happened. And lo and behold,
we've got...
Oh, hey, lifeguards are doing their
lifeguards
duty.
Lifeguards heading into the water.
That's great. That's doing their job. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, so I got there. So she invited me to join her band. It's a classic rock blues band kind of thing, whatever. So after the show today, I'm going to go down, meet with them, check it out, and see what's going on. And see if we kind of get along and everything and have some fun. So I might get out there playing again.
That'd be fun, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about it today.
Give me something to do on the weekend.
Besides a podcast?
Yeah, or at night, I guess. Oh, it's like laying there on my bed, playing on my phone.
So that's my big thing for the week overall.
Oh, cool. You
know? So, and then I got to go to the a guitar expo that they had. They had a vintage guitar thing over at the OC Fairgrounds.
I noticed you had a guitar posted for sale.
I've got a couple that I'm trying to get rid of, actually, yeah, because I do want to get, I have three Ovations, and I'm trying to sell those three to get another Ovation. So, and it sounds weird about what I'm going to say, because you're going to go, huh? So I have a 6-string Ovation, a 12-string Ovation, and then I have a double neck Ovation, where it's a 6-string on top, I'm sorry, a 12-string on top and a 6-string on the bottom. So... And I want to try and get rid of those so I can buy the Richie Sambora version, which is also a double neck, but it's a 6 on top and a 12 on bottom. So it's reversed of what I have, basically. Wow. So, but then I came across a website the other day that this guy gave me a card on when I went to the...
He gave you a what?
A card.
Oh, you said Cardon.
Oh no!
On this
website.
I misheard you. Sorry.
Yeah, he gave me a hard on because he showed me this beautiful Gibson. But anyway, that's beside the point. But no, give me this card to this other company. It's a Chinese company though, but they do replicas of certain guitars. Well, they replicate the Taylor version of Richie Sambora's double neck guitar, but for a lot less money. So, because the one that they're selling right now from Ovation, it's about $2,000. So that, which is why I need to sell the other three guitars to at least come close to it. But they're saying that they can do their version, whatever, for about $600.
Oh,
I know. I can't believe that big wave that just came through.
Wow, that's a beautiful wave.
It is. You realize we're on the air, right?
Yes.
And the microphone is on.
Okay. What?
I got to go to that too as well at the Orange County Fairgrounds, and it was so nice to see all these vintage guitars. I mean, guitars from like the 50s, the 60s, and even some from the 30s. I saw some beautiful Martin guitars from the 30s and the 20s.
Oh wow!
And I mean, you're talking, you know, some that cost $50,000-$60,000.
Oh,
you know, yeah.
I have a guitar.
Do you?
Yes, I do. Yes, it's a classical guitar from, it was made in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Really?
In 1963, wow. I think.
I didn't know you had one.
Yeah, it's really old.
It's a nylon guitar, though.
Yeah, it's a classical.
Very cool. So, well, you should come over, you should play then.
I should bring it over and
learn
and check it out and learn how to play.
Learn how to play.
I mean, I took lessons. I have since forgotten, but I actually was involved in concerts up in Glendale at the Brand.
Well, I've gone to concerts in Glendale too.
The Brand Library. This is the Brand Library or the library. It's in Glendale.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
I did concerts there when I was like 15.
Oh wow.
So
were you any good?
Of course, I was any good.
Oh.
Well, look, isn't that beautiful? We got the lifeguard boat cruising out beyond the surf line across the front.
Is that the lifeguard boat?
I got to take a
picture.
I think it's a lifeguard boat.
It's a white boat. It's not a lifeguard.
I don't think they allow.
No, I think it's a lifeguard boat.
Other than.
Because normally it would be red too, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's a
regular boat.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. wish that girl was my neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Oh, yes, we're professional.
Yes, we are.
So anyway, so that was me catching up. So how about you, Steve? What was your week like?
I have no idea.
Oh, God.
I can't remember anything. What did I do? Well, you know, what I need to do is check here, and I did nothing last week.
Really?
Yeah, I'm looking at my calendar, and there's nothing there.
Hmm.
Huh. Amazing. I can't remember.
Wow.
Did I do anything with you this week?
We got together to work on some future stuff that we can't announce just yet.
Exactly.
But
that's about it. That's about it.
Okay.
You
know, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
How about you, Zach?
I went Saturday to Flappers and saw Paul and Karen. Karen doing like
How was that?
It was fun. They had like a Burbank Comedy Festival where they had like 70 amateur stand-up comedians do like 5 minutes uh-huh. at a time, and it was just like rapid fire, like 5 minutes one after the other, boom, boom, boom.
Wow!
And it was fun. And then finally, after that was over, the second act was more of them, and then Karen was the final one. They saved her for the end because
she
was the big headliner. So I met with Paul and all that. He got me the ticket for that.
Nice.
Hung out, had dinner. It was a real good time.
Very cool.
I'm going to start going out there more often.
That's cool. No, you know.
That's a good idea.
No, absolutely. You know, and that's one thing I love about us that we, you know, not only, you know, Steve and I have been friends for 30-some years now.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe it's been that long. You know, and of course, we've only known Zach for about a year and a few months. But, I mean, Zach's become family, too, you know, and that's one thing is, we actually enjoy hanging out with each other.
Yeah, we do.
You know, going out and getting a beer or whatever.
Do.
You know, so to go out and do that, I mean, and not only for Zach to go out and say hi to Paul, you know, who does our movie reviews and everything, you know, but to support them. And we're all one family kind of a thing.
Yeah, you know? We all like to hang out, like to do things, yeah. Love to have people on our podcast to talk about
play
it.
Play Scrabble on the weekends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Of course, it's strip Scrabble.
Right. Yeah. I always lose.
X. That's. Well, use actually, an X. Everybody has to.
If anybody sees me naked, we're all losing.
Well, we'll wear our sunglasses.
Yeah. How was Karen's act, though? Because I haven't a chance to really see her.
It was good.
Pieces.
The only complaint I had about it.
Speaking of naked, how was Karen's act?
Yeah. How was Karen's act?
No, the only complaint I had about it is that it was too short, but that's kind of the thing. They were all 5 minutes. I would have loved for them to do, like, maybe, like 15, 20 minutes. It just went by so quick. And. It's funny because I had a friend with me, and it was kind of like their sexual harassment singing jokes was the thing they were doing, and they were going up to people in the audience trying to like get them to participate, and I put my friend on the spot, and this particular friend got so mad at me for doing that.
Why?
And I did on purpose because Karen knows who it is, and like I'm like, Karen, get her, go for it, and just like froze. My friend just froze completely.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, why did you do that? And I'm like, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I would have done it if you did it to me. God, participate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, if we were there, you would have probably pointed at us. I would get them or whatever.
And you would have went along with it.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's all fun.
That's kind of the point.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to say, though, the food was kind of eh. But
no, where was it at, though? It
kind of what?
Flappers. Like they.
Okay, it was at Flappers. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I got BLT sliders, which were good and all that, but it's just I think the food's fine. It's just overpriced is my only thing.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, a lot of those places, you know, like the Comedy Store or especially I think the Improvs, all the different Improvs, whatever. I mean, I love going there and I love seeing our friends like Craig Shoemaker and Johnny Laquasto there and everything, you know, and other comedians. But that's just one thing for what they have. You know, it's like, you know what, like $15 for chicken fingers and fries, mm-hmm. you know, when you can go to Denny's and get them for $8.
Yeah, Paul was telling me that's where they make their money, is their menu.
Is their menu, yeah. Because not too many people drink, and if they do, that's why they sometimes have the 2-drink minimum, which I'm okay with also, because I'll normally have 2 drinks anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that.
I want to get plowed. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, not really.
No, I'm just kidding.
Not there. But,
that's a long drive back.
Yeah, but the food, for like you said, the quality for what it is, it's not the greatest at those places. But, like you said, that's probably where they make their money at.
So. But you go and you have a good laugh, and it's okay.
Yeah, true. Very true. Well, that's cool. Well, I'm glad you went down to go see them, man. That's neat.
Yeah. Need to get out on a Saturday night. It was fun. It was worth the trip.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. That's very awesome. Cool deal. Well, that's us catching up. So, you know what? So let's do a little bit of a background music on this one here, Zach.
Lost my where I am.
Yeah. You know, actually, I forgot to bring this list with me, though, because I don't have it, but... actually, Zach, see if you can jump on the internet real quick and see if you can go to IMDb. Yeah.
And then look up Top Surfing Films.
So, obviously, we're down here at AWOW, which is a walk on water, which is a surf therapy event going on here to help kids, special needs kids and everything, and anybody who really needs it, you know. It's just amazing. Now, did you ever surf when you were younger?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you have a surfboard or?
Yes.
Okay.
I started surfing when I was like 12 or so. I actually lived up in Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
And some friends used to, from South Pasadena, we'd come down here to Huntington and we'd surf and stuff. And this went on. When I moved to Paramount, a really good friend of mine in high school, he had a brother, an older brother, Mike Spence, who turned into a kind of a surfing legend up and down the coast here.
Oh, wow.
But before that happened, he and I and another friend, Larry Saunders, we used to come down here to the cliffs just north or south of here and surf. One day we did it in storm surf, and we were out in where they all say, don't go out there. But we were like teenagers, and we were like, of course, we can surf. So we went out there, and we were having a good time, but the waves were closing out quick. And I went over the falls once, and the riptide got me, and I was on the bottom rolling, trying to get oriented to get back up to the surface. And the best I did was I was almost at the top, and my arm went out of the water, and it caught me and rolled me back under again. And I was like losing my breath. I couldn't breathe anymore, or didn't have any more breath. And next thing you know, Mike's hand comes down and grabs me and pulls me up out of the... He had seen my arm come out of the water. He came over and he literally saved my life. So
wow.
It was an experience. I know we were like... I was like 16, 17 or something like that. So I came that close to not being here today.
Holy cow, yeah. So,
that would have been a tragedy.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have had a partner.
That's right.
I almost died once.
That's nice. So
that's how I feel about it.
Maybe that's what we should be doing, harrowing near-death experiences. Just,
there you go, yeah. For me, I never got into surfing. I boogie boarded when I was in high school, though. Well, so but I never got into the whole surfing thing itself, but loved coming down here and, you know, jumping on a boogie board and everything and... You know, just like most teenage boys come down and look at the girls and get out in the water and surf in and, you know, and everything. And I had a blast. I just never thought about surfing or getting a surfboard, you know, and wondering, geez, could I ever stand up on one or not?
Yeah.
You know, but still enjoyed it. You know, like I said, we come down all
the
time.
It was fun. Yeah, we surfed here up and down all the way from down Newport up here to Seal Beach. Back then, the Seal Beach jetty, there was the power plant was operating, and it would send warm water back out in the jetty, which would open up or go out into the ocean. Mm. And so you'd go surfing there off the jetty, and the water was actually warm. That was really cool. I loved it there.
Well, I've got, you know, did you ever get a chance to watch surfing movies, though? Or did they influence you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got here the top 10 surfing movies by IMDb.
I think I know what number one is.
What do you think
it is? Go ahead.
Okay, well, what do you think it is?
Endless Summer.
The original one, back in 1966. Yeah. That is the number one movie,
exactly,
Endless Summer.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got number one right away.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think all the others are, one through two?
Oh, my God. Now you're going to make me. go ahead and...
You just kind of go through them?
Yeah, I just go through them.
Okay. Well, actually, you know, Endless Summer had a sequel that came out in 1994. And a friend of mine actually got to do some of the soundtrack for that, which is Gary Hoey.
Really?
Yeah. Which is Endless Summer 2.
Wow.
So that is actually number 10. So
they, that's cool.
So both films actually kind of bookmarked, or, you know.
They both got in the top 10.
Top 10, yeah. Number 9 was Castles in the Sky.
Okay.
And that was came out in 2010. The Big Wednesday, 1978.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
Okay. A Broke Down Melody, which came out in 2004. Peel, The Peru Project, which was 2006. Thicker Than Water came out in 2000. It's more of a documentary kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Actually, the last two were. Surfing Holidays, another documentary, came out in 1961. Riding Giants, another documentary, came out in 2004. It was about the bigger waves. Mm. You know, big, no. Huge, freaking monsters.
Out there in North Shore of Oahu.
Oh, my God. I saw some videos of those recently. How and why would you ever take on something that powerful?
Yeah, it's just, you're crazy, young, and it's a thrill.
You know, I mean, we're seeing guys out there right now getting torn up, and these are waves, you know, 5-6 feet tall, nothing big, you know. Maybe even, well, now they're down to probably about 3 feet or something.
2-3 feet right now.
You know, so they're nice and calm. Those things are powerful.
Yeah.
Enough as it is.
Yeah.
But to take on something that is 80 That's feet tall, boy. 100 feet tall, you are on a suicide mission.
Yeah, I love to watch video of that because you see this huge
wall.
Wave there. And then the surfer's like little tiny and he's, you know, coming down that thing. You can see the trail he's leaving across the top of the wave. It's pretty amazing. These guys have a lot of guts.
Balls is what they have.
Yeah.
They got more cojones than I do.
There was a song by Jan and Dean called Ride the Wild Surf. And
It
was about getting that one last ride off of the big waves.
Yeah. Okay. So that was number 3, Riding Giants. Number 2, Step Into Liquid. And that came out in 2003 there. So, So there you go. Those are the top 10 movies specifically about surfing. So
that's a lot of fun.
Do you have a favorite surf movie though, or beach, or beach movie?
It's Endless Summer.
Endless Summer.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, they used to play it at the. I'm leaning over to talk to Sean like you can't hear me. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
They used to play there downtown Huntington Beach at the little theater. I don't know if it's still there. I don't think it's still there, but because they rebuilt so much, but. Mm-hmm. They played Endless Summer down there, and that's my favorite.
I would probably have to say for me, just because of the comedy sake of it, I love Gidget.
Gidget, yeah. I love that movie, too.
It's
a lot of fun.
the whole aspect of it.
Moondoggy.
It's just a very fun movie, mm-hmm. And from my understanding, I think it was based upon a true story kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
it was kind of like, that was when you could actually, there weren't all these laws and everything. Like, you're down to the beach, you could build a hut and live there if you wanted to.
Yeah.
That was an actual thing.
Yeah, and a lot of people did that. So
I'd like to do it now.
Zach, do you have, like, a favorite surf or beach movie?
I was about to say that no one decided to mention Point Break. That's a classic. Yeah, Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves.
You know what? That one. Well, there's a couple other ones too that were on IMDb. Definitely honorable mentions. But yeah, Point Break actually came in at number 13. Blue Crush.
Blue Crush. That's the one I was thinking about.
That one came in at number 14 in 2000. Mm-hmm. There's some other ones that were. They're there and everything.
If you guys look out right now, some of the walk-on-water surfers have the walk-on-water athlete on their board. The two of them are on the boards. They're just a bunch of them have just taken off there. And the walk-on-water surfing guys, the actual guys, take these kids, and they put them on the board in front of them, and then they catch the wave and going out. So that, you know, they hang on to them. And it's just, it's so amazing here.
If
so
there's
amazing.
A buzz, there's a buzz. Don't worry about it.
You guys hear something?
Yeah.
We hear something.
It's a buzz. Yes, we hear it, Steve.
Are we talking about bees today? What?
We hear it.
What
hear it.
That?
Yeah, well, what's next then?
All right, so I got some surfing fun facts for us here.
Oh, that's exciting.
So now, do you want to hear traditional fun facts? Or now that I picked out some other ones too that were specifically about California.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah. Or actually, you know what? I think you have.
That's where we are.
No. Okay.
No, I've got.
Yeah, you've got the difference. Okay. So do you want a California one or do you want a traditional one? Fun fact.
Can we do both?
I can give you one of each if you like.
Okay.
All right. So basically, historians note that Hawaii provided the soul of surfing, but California provided the technology advances that enabled to spread around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Technological advances included more hydrodynamic boards and wave forecasting and wetsuits.
You remember way back when the guys here in Huntington Beach did it, and they would start trying to form their own surfboards. Of course, you know, they'd be surfing and they'd go, I wonder if I tried this, and they'd go home and they'd shape another board a little bit differently and stuff, and that's how all that technology started. Just mm-hmm. individual surfers trying to change what they were doing and how they did it. It seemed to have worked out pretty good.
Yeah. Well, here we go. We were talking about the movie Gidget. Kathy Koner Zuckerman, otherwise known as Gidget, was a young girl who surfed Malibu in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
Because of her small size, local surfers called her Gidget, which was short for Girl Midget. Her father wrote a book about her surfing experiences, which then later was turned into a movie of the same name.
Yeah.
So there you go, based upon a true story. So you got some, what do you got over there?
Well, I've got some facts about different things. It doesn't have a thing on the top, so I guess it's just facts.
Yeah, surfer facts.
Okay. Hopefully this won't happen while we're here at the event, but you never know. Somebody hangs 11.
Ooh.
That's when a male surfer rides the board naked.
Hello.
Get it? 11. Hang 11.
So that means, does a woman do 12?
I guess that would be, yeah.
Yeah. Guess, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did you hand me here? That's kind of funny. I like this song. Oh, you want more? Okay, Captain James Cook was the first person to describe surfing, or he enalu in Hawaiian, which means wave sliding. In 1778, he saw a surfer who he described as someone who had the most supreme pleasure while he was driven so fast and smoothly by the seas. Now, for Hawaiians, surfing was a central part of their religion. Surfing not only encompassed deep spiritual links with the ocean, but it was also a way of ceremonial chiefs to assert their dominance. I combined the two. Then there's the father of modern surfing, is considered to be Duke Kahanamoku. He was from 1890 to 1968, an Olympic swimmer who started a surf club in Waikiki Beach.
Nice. Well, you know, speaking of Hawaii, in 1885, three visiting Hawaiian princes introduced surfing to Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, wow.
While surfing didn't immediately catch on then, in 1907, Hawaiian-born George Freth, oh, I said that right, created a surfing frenzy in California when a railroad company advertised his surfing skills to promote a new railroad beach route from L.A. to Redondo Beach.
How about that? Oh, L.A. to Redondo.
Yeah. Now, of course, right up the street from us is Huntington Beach.
Yes.
Now, they host the annual City Surf Dog Contest to raise money for animal welfare organizations. Dogs are judged based upon their confidence riding the wave and how long they stay on the board.
There's a lot of surfing dogs. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Let's see here. Now, here's something that's really interesting. This is just a regular surfing fact, though. Do you know what a Neptune cocktail is?
A Neptune cocktail.
Yeah.
I imagine it is a lot of seawater.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. Okay. It's an unattended gulp of seawater that a surfer takes during a wipeout.
Wipeout.
Yeah. Now, you might want to call me a hodad, if you want.
Ah, a hodad.
You know what a hodad is?
I a hodag.
Yeah. Well, it's someone who hangs out at the beach pretending
to be a surfer, but he doesn't really surf.
Right. Yeah. But now, if I do decide to surf, you might want to call me a Barney.
A Barney?
Yeah.
Isn't that a purple dinosaur?
Well, I can be if I hit the floor hard enough.
Which you've done off
with
the
numerous times, yes, in my own home. But a Barney is an inexperienced surfer or someone who needs more practicing surfing. But and then there's a Benny, which is a non-local surfer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been Benny lots of times. I didn't have the privilege of living down here on the ocean for a lot of my life, till like the 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's when I started living here at Huntington Beach. It was like 71 or something like that, off and on for the rest, till now.
Cool. Well, there you go, man. You got a couple more?
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about how some surfers started doing their own thing and reshaping their boards and stuff. This was because of World War II had the invention of chemicals and materials that helped revolutionize the construction of surfboards, like styrofoam, fiberglass, and resin. They all helped create boards that were more sturdy and lightweight, and people could shape them a lot easier.
That's cool. Well, and there's so much, that's the thing too, that there's so much technology now with surfing nowadays. You know, you don't think so, but you know, there definitely is. So
yeah, it used to be like the boards were called long boards because they were really
long,
and the way you measured the board you needed was you stood up and you raised your hand up as far as you could above your head and bent your wrist, and the board would, from the floor up to your bent wrist, would be the length of board you needed to surf.
Well, speaking of boards, you know, surfers feel, you know, 'cause it's tough to date a surfer.
Yes, it is.
You know, so basically here are the top 10 reasons surfboards are better than women. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think our listening audience is ready for this.
I don't know if they're ready. And I'm making
go.
I'm making sure that there's no girls around because there are some lovely ones here.
You might want to make a sandwich today.
Yeah. So once again, these are the top 10 reasons surfboards are better than women. Number 10, you can ride a surfboard as long as you want and you won't get sore.
Oh, dude. Oh, dear. Let's go through this. Number 9, if you say bad things to your surfboard, you don't have to apologize before you can ride it again, dude.
Yeah. Number 8, surfboards don't mind if you look at other surfboards or if you buy surfboard magazines.
Oh, boy.
That's very true.
That is true.
They really don't.
Number 7, surfboards don't care how many other surfboards you have.
Because it's a group thing, you know, and everything's better in a group, right?
Yeah, the more surfboards you have, dude,
the better it is,
can ride.
Exactly. Number 6.
5.
Number 5. Surfboards don't care if you are out late.
And sometimes the best surf is at night, dude.
Want to try that again? Let's try that again for the timing there. Surfboard, number 5. Surfboards don't care if you're out late.
Yeah.
There we go.
Beautiful. Number 4. You can ride a surfboard any time of the month, dude.
Oh, my God. They're going to be kidding.
No, they're not.
It says
it right there on the paper, man.
Here goes number 3. Everybody get ready.
White paper and black lettering here. It's got to be true. And am I doing number 3?
Yes.
Number 3, surfboards don't get pregnant.
Okay. No, they don't.
You have been on, every time we've done one of these lists, Zach, you have done that last one perfectly on certain ones. That was, again, was perfect.
I was starting to think that, like, you have a certain one that just corresponds numerically with this one at the very end, and it's just like the planets are lining up or something.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, here's number 2.
God, I'm scared.
Surfboards last longer.
They do.
Daffy Duck.
Oh, they do.
God.
Yeah, and here we go.
I can surf all day on one board.
Let's do this together here. And the number 1 reason that surfboards are better than women,
Surfboards curves never sag.
Ooh, I like it. Oh,
dude, we're going to get cards and letters for this one.
So there you go. The top 10 reasons. That
and I am now out of paperwork, so I can sit back and relax. Yes. All I have to do now is just go, mm-hmm, every so often.
Are you sure?
There. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we're supposed to be expecting somebody right now though, right?
Yeah, they should be here any minute.
Okay, so we're just gonna
have an interviewee.
An interviewee, yeah. I think some of the people are starting to come in now a little bit.
Did
here,
we test
some of the athletes.
Headphones over here?
I'll do it.
So, but once again, this is just an amazing event down here.
In between, I've been kind of watching, you know, the families and the athletes. We call them athletes, you know.
Well, that's what they are.
These people that are having a good time. Did that work?
No.
Oh, cool. It's just such a great sight to see everybody having a good time, the smiles on the faces, and mm-hmm. getting to do something that is or can be a difficult task to get your whole family down here to surf.
Not only that, though, but I mean, every time one of the athletes comes in, you know, whether they're standing up or whether they're on their knees or whatever, on the board, it doesn't matter, you know, they come in. There's a big cheer. There's a big applause, you know, because mm-hmm. they achieved something,
yeah.
you know, and it's just amazing to see them, whether the person that they're with is pushing them or holding onto the board or whatever, or they're standing up together. You know, it's just a neat thing.
I'm sure. The ladies out there, I want to hold on to.
I think that mic's a little low, and yeah. So, man, honestly, everybody, it's just such a beautiful day today, and
it is.
There's a little bit of wind, but it's not really.
It's
blowing
not
hard at all. It's just it feels so good. It's not too hot, and. It's a good time for everybody. People laughing, the smiles on the faces are just amazing. Plus, there's a lot of things set up here. Different kinds of there's food and there's clothing and gifts.
Well, there's also so many different types of sponsors here mm-hmm. and everything. I mean, right behind us right now, we got Paul Mitchell. They've set up a little booth here, basically for. Donations where they have people can come and get some water, some coffee, some snacks, and everything.
What was it we had earlier just before we started?
Bonsai bowl.
Bonsai bowl.
Yeah, and which is basically like the acai berry is what it is, and they put in coconut and they put in almonds and granola and stuff, whatever, and put a nice little cup there. We had
that was really good.
I got a friend of mine that graduated from Paul Mitchell this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
She listens to the show.
Hey, hi.
Name's Jackie.
Hi.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hey, I need...
Jackie, come on down and wear your bikini.
Yeah, and you can do my hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Believe me, that's a sight to see, too.
Cool. But Catan is here also. I think it's the people that make the wetsuits or something. You know, JBL is down here, the speaker company. So they're a part of it. This is a really, really nice event and everything. And like I said, we're going to keep saying that over and over and over again. And...
I can't stress it enough. This is really worthwhile.
Yeah.
Water's so clean looking, too.
It is. It's a beautiful day. The waves, they were a little bit bigger earlier. They've kind of calmed down. They're probably about 2 to 3 feet right now.
We're waiting for that next big set outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here comes.
Oh, here we go. Here comes our interviewee.
Comes on in.
What's going on? How are you guys?
How are you, good? Sir?
You want to hear
good,
it?
Good. Yeah, go ahead. There you go.
Okay.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm JP Perrette, a.k.a. Pelican.
Pelican, how
hey,
are
it's
you?
Pelican.
Today? Yep. How you guys doing today?
Good guy.
Great. You're all wet, so obviously you were just out with one of the athletes. So.
Yeah, I'm always out with all the athletes. I run the team, so it's
nice.
It's a fun all thing right. to do.
Now, how long have you been part of this, Pelican?
Since we started. It's been 7 years since we started, so I've been... Since the beginning with them, we started up north, mm-hmm. small little remote area.
And what made you decide to be a part of this beautiful organization?
I was doing it prior. I've been doing it for a long time. My nephew was born 21 years ago with autism.
Uh-huh.
So I come from, my mom was a single mom. My father left when I was four. My sister's a single mom, mm-hmm. so I stepped in to raise the kids as my own.
Wow.
So I did a lot of work with him. I was his shadow. I'm very close with children on the spectrum or just period with humanity, let's just say.
Nice.
That's awesome. Nice.
And now, are you part of the founding member board type of a thing? Or?
I'm on the board. When we first started, it was a smaller board. Let's just say a couple birds. And then we had a bunch of the flock, you know, that works with us. And then as it grew more and more and more. And now I have a bigger position here, meaning I know what I do, and I do it well.
Nice. Well, we got involved because of Swampy.
Yep.
Basically, he's been friends of ours. And last year was the first time we actually got to broadcast from the beach. Last year we were in Huntington Beach. And, I told Swampy, whatever he's involved with, we're behind. And when we got a little bit more involved with knowing what the organization is about, we were just, like, blown away, on how much this helps the kids and everything. Has there been any scientific proof now or anything like that that has shown that this does help?
In the UK currently, the doctors are now currently prescribing surf therapy.
Uh-huh.
So there's definitely, what would be the word would say, they've definitely done research.
Okay.
So it definitely has, there is absolute research that it does work.
It does
absolutely
work.
Yeah.
I know in my experience, the years I was surfing and stuff, that it's just in general, it's a certain thrill you get when you get up on a board on a wave. There's just a feeling that is different from anything else. And I can see how that kind of thrill, input or that stimulation.
It's interesting because there's not a lot of programs that create, as a child growing up, he finishes the puzzle, he gets self-esteem and confidence because he finished the puzzle.
Right.
You hit a little foul ball, still you hit the ball. You hit a base hit, you got a little bit more confidence. Now you hit a home run, and something in your brain changes. You become a little bit more confident, a little bigger of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with the ocean, is that we provide an area and a system where the children can organically create confidence, self-esteem. They're around empathetic, compassionate people, non-judgmental, which really creates a really connectedness, which is what it's all about. It's about the change is the ocean does it because it allows them to go through their sensory issues. With all of them are very scared, they're coming here on the first time. A lot of the parents are coming here not thinking that they have that this is the right format for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of safety, and for us it's safety number one, and number two, have a complete beautiful experience.
I know for some of my friends that have autistic kids, in growing up, they're always looking for some kind of thing to do to stimulate and to help bolster that confidence and stuff in their kids. And so something like this is just, it's amazing.
I'm very passionate about what I do. I do it every day. I work with kids in recovery too. And we use this there's nothing more vulnerable than the ocean.
Very true.
There's nothing more vulnerable. And to put them in that vulnerable state is when you see the change.
Have the scientists in the UK, have they figured out that, yes, there is a connection between being in the water itself and our bodies being made up so much of water that there's somewhat of a connection there that helps with the change?
Absolutely. I wish I had more scientific knowledge, but there is. There's a book called Blue Mind, which is an amazing book, who talks about not surf therapy, but what the ocean does specifically, scientifically, to the human.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based off of scientific research and so forth. So, it's great for people with post-traumatic stress disorder. It's done wonders with the veterans that are coming back from a war. There's a time out there when you actually forget about your life and your present.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing, is to be just that moment of being present is a huge moment, considering 99% of the day we're in our head and it's imagination.
It seems like it's no matter what, because, you know, Steve said that he had gone surfing. I've gone boogie boarding when I was a teenager. There is just something magical out there and calming about it. What is it calming for you? What is it about being out there that you get that calmness from?
You know, I am them. You know, we're all one. So for me, I get the calm from knowing that I'm providing a service at a top level.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact that I'm going to be changing this person's life when I'm working with them.
That's awesome.
So the calming part for me is knowing that, you know, when you're growing up, you always wonder why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I know why I'm here, to work with these children.
Yeah, well, help these kids out. Yeah.
No, yeah, it was kind of cool while we were looking out there, and there was like four or five of you had a kid on your board, and you all took off and were coming in. It's just, I can imagine those kids are out there just going, oh, yeah.
You know, they're crying. They're scared. Their parents are crying. They're some, you know. So no one's none of the kids are expecting to go out so far. None of the parents are expecting for us to take them out so far. But the whole point is pushing that trigger of forget what's normal. Let's create a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're scared, beautiful. Let's go through it.
Together. And we're going through it together.
Together, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go through it together. Let's leave it outside. And when you come back, let's come back a little stronger.
I noticed there's a lot more lifeguards than usual. I imagine that the city, county, whatever it is that controls this, are very supportive because they're providing a bunch of extra lifeguards out here, too.
It's a beautiful thing because it's connecting the community within the ocean and then with their children is a beautiful thing, you know, and for us it's about connecting the community in all aspects.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
That's awesome.
Pelican, I know there's certain other things that you guys do. Where is the next event going to be at?
Our next event will be in Montauk, East Coast, New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be our next event. And then from there, I think we come back and we go to Virginia Beach.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. So we're getting out on the East Coast and doing things out there now.
We did New Jersey 2 months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun. It was good. Good time. Hey-o.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey, good time.
Hey, get off the board. Hey, my board.
Hey, bring that board back. We'll use it.
Hey.
So,
yeah, small bikini, but I don't mind.
Yeah, we don't mind that at all. In fact, that's your talent talking. But, I'm going to get back to work.
Absolutely, Pelican.
Thank you so much for your time.
Pelican, it was great talking to you.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time.
Will do. All right. Will do.
Take care.
Yeah, boys.
All right, take care, guys. Oh, man. So there you go. You know, and it's just amazing on what these do, and Pelican's part of it. And,
yeah.
To see the smile on these kids' faces.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it goes from fear to... holy crap, I'm standing up on a board.
Yeah, from abject panic to, Mom, did you see that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you're going, holy cow. You know, and it is just amazing to see. Because, I mean, this is a life-changing event for some of these kids, you know, and for some of these people. And like you said, they've even had some of the soldiers, you know, who've gone through post-traumatic syndrome come in. And there is something about... And it reminded me something about John F. Kennedy made some kind of quote years ago about the ocean, you know, and exploring it and everything and how important it is to be a part of the ocean, you know. And he was a sailor himself, you know, the family over high on his board.
That movie, PT 109.
Well,
remember that?
I wasn't thinking about World War II boat, but, you know.
But that, yeah, you know.
But, yeah, but no, but I mean.
In the water.
Yeah. God, yes. But no, I'm thinking about, you know, the family was on the Hyannis port, and they would go sailing all the time. That was a very, very big part of the Kennedy family, that they would go sailing on the weekends or whenever they can, you know, whatever. But it was just a big part of them, you know. And there is something about it to go out there and have fun and be in there and wonder, hey, is that a jellyfish or is that a dolphin going by, you know, kind of a thing. Oh. And
Dude.
Yeah, hey, man. So, but no, it is. Oh, we got a yellow flag. I don't know for what, but we got a yellow flag.
What does yellow flag mean?
I don't know what that means, but the lifeguards are chilling, so they're okay. So, but I'll do
I think it's a signal to come in for maybe food or what time is it?
Oh, yeah, I think that is what it is.
Oh, probably, yeah. So,
yeah, it's 11 o'clock. They're probably having a break or a food break or something.
Something, exactly.
Chow time.
So, well, you know what? Should we do the next thing there?
What is it we're going to need here?
Pocket size. So let me get the scripts together here.
This is a well-oiled machine.
Damn right we are.
Ooh, baby.
Damn right we are. So
that's okay.
Move that one there.
It's windy here.
It is. That's why I didn't want to hand out the scripts, because they're going to freaking fly everywhere.
Don't worry, folks. We have people
reading them. Yeah.
So
we've thought this out very carefully. Yes. So, you know.
Right, there's yours.
There's mine. Oh, cool. All right. Well, it's three pages. Oh.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Hope they're in the right order.
Yeah, no, they are.
We'll find out.
They are. And let's see here.
Oh, my goodness. That's just a lovely what? Day.
Oh, you're just looking at her butt.
But what?
Jeez. Two grown men or whatever. It's like, oh, did you see that ass walk by?
You mean three.
Grown up at all, for crying out. I hope I never grow up.
Me and the professional going, yeah, there it goes. And
I'm living the good life. So why grow up? Ruin
all
it.
Right, so... Okay, so I guess, Zach, you can play the girl.
Oh, okay. I like that.
So, all right. So so here we are, you know, on the beach, and we want to, like usual, you know, bring some class.
Some culture.
To the beach, and something we like to call
pocket-size cinema. Oh, now that was beautiful timing right there.
Look at that big hunk of lifeguard walking by right now.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, great. Hi there.
Come and save me anytime. Alrighty. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to Pocket Size Cinema. I feel like I'm doing it a little bit different today. I don't know why. Anyway, today's feature...
We're on the beach.
...is entitled, On a Deserted Island. On a Deserted Island. A man was stranded on a deserted island. Go figure. For 10 years. 10 long, lonely, aching years.
Oh, ow.
When one day, a man notices a beautiful girl swimming to the shore in a wetsuit. Yes. So let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy on a deserted island.
Oh, man, I can't believe this. Am I ever happy to see you?
Hi, my name's Susan. By the way, your clothes look like it seems you've been here a long time.
Oh, I have.
How long have you been here?
10 long, lonely years.
Oh, my, that's a long time. That's like a decade.
Almost. Yeah, you noticed too, huh?
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Not at all.
How long has it been since you've had a cigarette?
It's been 10 years.
With this information, Bill Clinton notices the girl unzips her slot on her arm of her wetsuit and gives the man a cigarette.
I like where this is going. It's been 10 years.
He says, thank you so much.
Thank you. So I'm very distracted.
So from the looks of this island and the way this bed is going, I take it there's no liquor around anywhere. Is
when
that
you
right?
I'm southern.
I don't know. I just picked up on it.
You are smart as a whip.
So tell me, how long has it been since you had a drink?
Again, it's been 10 long, lonely years.
My goodness.
The girl then unzips a little longer zipper on her wetsuit. You feel okay with that? Let me say that again.
Need some water, honey?
The girl unzips a little longer zipper on her wetsuit and comes out with a flask of whiskey and gives the man a drink.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. You're like a miracle.
Steve's got an accent now.
That's it, Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, the girl starts to unzip the front of her wetsuit, and she asks the man leadingly,
"So tell me then, have you been bored?"
The man looked over her excitedly and said,
"Oh my God, don't tell me you've got a surfboard in there too."
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Yes, that was the punchline. We're waiting for Zach to push the button.
I take full responsibility for that and my accent.
I just love that the both of you started with one and ended with another.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
That's called versatility.
That's called losing your place.
That's called deniability.
I never had a place to lose.
Oh,
but
God.
You do now.
Well, that was fun. That was very fun. I don't know who was talking. He guy snuck up behind me and did that. And he walked away. I didn't get his name.
Yeah, right.
I think his name was Canardly. Yeah, Canardly talk with everything that's going on.
Can you spell that? Can you put that in a sentence, please?
Oh, no. We have someone coming over.
Oh, yeah. She's got a cocktail or something.
She's got a drink.
It's water. It's a drink of water. Howdy. Who's talking?
Hi.
Hey.
Are you going to talk? Okay.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Here's the
headphones, and there's the mic.
Doesn't matter what side's left, right.
Yeah.
Straight.
How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Good,
you?
Good, good. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Courtney Conlog here at the Walk and Wire event at Bolsa Chica.
And we understand you are somebody of importance here.
I don't know. I feel like today the athletes are more important than I am.
Well said.
But you are a surfer champion from our understanding, though?
Yeah, I compete on the World Tour, and this year is actually year 9 for me.
Wow.
Right now I'm in my Olympic qualifier season.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Fun.
Wow.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of traveling, but it's amazing. I'm living my dream.
Nice.
Did you compete in the event they had here?
It was at the U.S. Open.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I ended up getting to the final, got second, so.
Congratulations. Right.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
cool.
You
Is
so
the girl that got first somewhere around here?
No. Hey, come on. Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
Well, Courtney, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
No worries.
How did you get involved with a Walk on Water?
I got introduced into Walk on Water through Stephen Lippman. Uh-huh. I was doing a shoot with him at the time, and he understands how much I love giving back to kids. And it's an amazing thing that surfing gets to spread joy to so many lives. And anytime you have that opportunity to share, it is incredible. And Stephen introduced a Walk on Water to me a while, and now I'm just, I think this is going on year 4. So
really?
Yeah, I love it. I love everything about it. You're doing something that's bigger than you, you know, and you're serving others and giving back, and it's really cool. It's an incredible day.
How did you get into surfing?
I got into surfing through my dad.
Really?
Yeah, it was something we did on the weekends as a family together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, where are you originally from?
Santa Ana, born and raised.
Ah, local girl, yeah.
Taco shops, taquitos. So good. But, yeah, the beach is just a skip and a throw, and I love coming here. And, obviously, I get to do it now as my career, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, you said you've traveled quite a bit doing surfing, obviously. Where has been your favorite place to surf overall?
I'd say my favorite place, probably France, south of France.
Really?
Yeah, Hossegor.
Oh, cool.
I know, and people are like, what, there's waves in France? I'm like, yes, there's an ocean.
Hey, if there's
a whole ocean, everything.
If there's a coast, there's going to be waves.
There's water, yeah. If there's water, there's waves. And, yeah, I love the south of France, just the endless beaches, and it's just what I love going there, and the people are really cool, and Probably, if not that, probably Australia. Australia's pretty epic.
Yeah. They got the big waves over there.
They get the big waves, especially in Western Australia.
Have you taken those on yourself? Or?
I think the biggest I've surfed is probably under 25, 23 feet.
Okay. That's still pretty big.
Pretty big.
Yeah.
I will dabble in bigger waves over time, but right now I have that world tour career and big waves, you know, they treat us like we're a rag doll in a wash machine. So,
all right. God.
Yeah, our limbs are just flying every which way.
So you got in because of your dad. What made your dad start surfing? Was he always a surfer himself, though? Or?
Yeah, my dad started surfing when he was 12, but he would actually go and take a bus 2 hours from inland to get to the beach, or he'd go into his friend's car into the like trunk of the car and have a 45 minute drive in the trunk of the car to get to the beach so he could surf.
Wow.
Yeah, my
Talking
dad
about smuggling.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Santa Ana, you never know. So hey.
Yeah, he was actually further than Santa Ana. He was living in like the valley at the time, so he was pretty inland, but he loved getting into the beach and just surfing. And you know, I feel like he shared one of the greatest gifts, which is surfing and just this lifestyle and brings so many people together. I feel very grateful to be able to do it every day.
What is one of the things in doing it for so long? When did you feel the time was going, okay, you know, I've been surfing since a teenager or whatever, or there's that point in time where you can go, hey, I can enter the competition? You know, for somebody, I know it's younger, for others it's older. When was that point for you?
Well, for me, I was always very, very competitive when I was little. I started competing in martial arts when I was like 6. And,
oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, and then once I started dabbling in surfing, I was 9 years old, did my first event. And when I was 14, got a wild card into a World Tour event at Honolulu Bay, Maui. And, yeah, it was pretty incredible. I was just over the moon to have that opportunity.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty young. That's cool.
That's to be able to very young.
On that level, that young, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just...
9 years old, I was just discovering myself.
I know, 9 years old, I don't know. I was still just playing in the ocean, I think. Uh-huh. But I just, you know, I took anything that I did so competitively. And I had two other siblings that would just be so good at every single sport. And I was always keeping up with them.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, they're good.
Are you the youngest or?
I'm the middle.
Oh.
So I had a little brother, though, that thought he was the alpha. He always thought he was so cool. But he always supported and challenged me so much. I couldn't be where I am without my family, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with that, does the family go with you every now and then to the around the world with you, though? And do they compete, too, or do they do other things?
No, so my brother's doing the 9-to-5 suit and tie every day. My sister, she is a marine biologist, scientific diver.
Wow.
So she's still involved in the ocean, goes diving and teaches scuba. A lot, and right now she walks like 12 miles a day doing surveying to make sure everything's done properly on behalf of nature.
Wow.
Yeah.
You say your brother just wears a regular suit, 9-to-5-er?
He is right now. I mean, he does commercial leasing and all that kind of stuff, so it's pretty business.
I think he's
really good at it.
I think you and your sister kind of got the better end of the suits, though.
Probably right now, but honestly, he could dabble in whatever he wants. And mm-hmm. I feel like he's going to end up creating something. That's just my brother. He's just an innovator, and this is just something that he's doing, and he's learning, and he's so intelligent, and he's going to use it for a lot.
He's just getting the ball rolling. Surfing's just been a big part of your life and everything. What are going to be some of the bigger things that are going to be coming up for you, or that may be a little bit more challenging or for you overall as far as the competitions are concerned?
Well, this year I feel it's a great challenge. I mean, they're taking the top two Americans to the Olympics from men and women, so 4 total. And but only 2 women go from all of U.S., and there's 7 athletes that are the best in the world that I'm up against. And so yeah, I'm giving it my best swing with that. And then outside of the jersey, I'd say I love art, and I'm dabbling with my little business Sea Tiger, which has been kind of fun, and just creating shirts and sharing my love for the ocean with others. And yeah, just doing a lot of painting. I do a lot of painting with acrylics and charcoals, so just sharing that with all everyone. Right.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I dabble in that, and then I'm in the process of starting my own little foundation, and just it's more ocean waterman awareness for young kids, just to get them involved together with ocean conservation training and loving the ocean, going surfing, and being healthy.
Nice.
Yeah.
When is the Olympics qualifying, and where is it going to be? I read a thing on it earlier this week. Tell us about when that is and what you have to go through to get ready for that.
So this whole year is our Olympic qualifier. So it's a series of 10 events, and this next event I'm going to in September is in Japan in Miyazaki. And it's one of the events that is required for us to do through ISA Worlds to then qualify for the Olympics. But our whole season, the whole year, it's accumulation of all 10 events.
So we'll
tell
like
the top two athletes
points,
that go.
Each
points
each event?
And each event. So every event, the winner gets 10,000 and kind of works its way down point and rating-wise. And so it accumulates to whatever at the end of the season, and then they pick the top two athletes, and those are the Olympic athletes for 2020 in Japan.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But do you want to disclose where you are at
right
this point?
Right now I'm seated number 3 in the U.S., so I have to go up one slot, but it's 4 events left, and a lot's happening, and it's stirring the pot. I had a little bit of a just curve mid-season with some stuff, so I'm just now reconsolidating, getting myself back where I need to go, and I've already had one win, so I need another couple wins, and I'll be sitting where I want to be.
Well, hopefully you make it. That,
yeah,
that's really
no
cool.
Kidding. When you're doing a competition like that, though, and again, I'm not a surfer or anything, so what is it that the judges are looking for, and what is it that you're exactly training for that the judges are going to see, hey, this is what we're going to give them the points, though?
So the way a contest works is we have a certain amount of rounds. So we start off with 18 women. And we start narrowing it down to end up with 2 women at the end, at the bottom end of the stick. And when we're out there in the ocean, we get 30 to 35 minutes to surf. And we get unlimited waves, but they count the top 2. And the way they score each wave is with power, speed, flow, commitment, and innovation on the actual wave. So everything in between, there's a lot of strategy that happens with priority, but that's the complicated part. But at the end of the day, it's you need to catch 2 good waves, perform to your best. They score from a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being perfect. And, yeah, that's the simplest version of a heat.
Jeez, oh. Yeah, I have a friend of mine, too, Jared Chandler, who his son does competitions out here every once in a while, too.
Cool.
And they surf, and he's, I guess, like, been slowly kind of going up through the ranks with the, I guess it's young amateurs, whatever, for certain ages and everything. So it's just interesting me to see him going, because I look at it on TV and going, oh, they're riding. That looks okay. You know, it's like driving a car for me when I look at it, because you guys just do it so naturally. It's like, I don't know what I'm looking at, you know, but I'm sure the judges are looking at something specific, though.
Yeah, honestly, once you start watching, you notice little variations between, like, having flow on a wave and doing something that's absolutely amazing. You'll notice the difference, like, night and day. In certain conditions, obviously, it makes it a little tougher to understand it. But, yeah. The basics is, like, when you're doing something innovative or above the lip, that's, like, high reward airs and those kind of things. And then as you do maneuvers, then you add flow into it and looking seamless, not catching your rails and losing speed through a turn, that kind of stuff.
You got all that, Steve?
Yes. Okay. As a matter of fact, do you have, like, a signature move or something you try to do on when you see a good wave coming?
I love to keep my competitors and judges guessing, so I try to add a bit of flair and surprise to things.
So in other words, if she tells you, she'll have to kill you.
Nah.
Yeah.
But the thing I do love doing is getting a barrel, but a lot of our conditions don't allow that all the right. time. It depends on where you are. Being able to maximize actually getting mm-hmm. into the barrel, that's where you're at. Service to whatever nature provides, you know, you're right. like the ocean, you kind of have to read it, adapt to what's doing. And you know, my favorite move that I'm working on right now is airs, because it's above the lip surfing. It's a lot of fun. And it's this year's my first year being injury free in a long time.
Oh wow.
Great. I should touch wood
somewhere.
You touch some yeah. wood. You know, superstition or not, it's like, it's pretty awesome. So I'm excited to be able to work on that kind of stuff again and, yeah, evolve the sport while in surfing.
Very Courtney, cool. when, now, obviously that's a big part of your life, and it provides mental, I know, input and stability and stuff for you. How do you translate that here when you go out here with one of the athletes here?
Honestly, I don't know about how stable surfing ever feels. It is the most unstable environment you're ever in, but I think my experience of just having the stability of being able to be on tour for 9 years, you just share that positive. For me, with the kids and these athletes, it's sharing your positive connection with them and making them trust in you and let go so they can experience something that's so beautiful, and you're sharing and passing it on to them mm-hmm. and giving them an experience a lot of them have never had. You know, it's something else being able to ride a board and feel the wave pushing you by and riding it all the way to shore, you know, and it's just a very freeing, weightless feeling.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for stopping by with us and sharing your experiences here in being a part of AWOW and everything. And good luck to you with the Olympic trials.
Thank you.
And
thank
we'll be definitely
so
rooting for you.
When's the next one?
My next one will be, what day? The 20th. No. 19th. Sorry. This next month is crazy. I go to Japan, compete on the 7th, but that one's not a part of the Olympic accumulation.
Oh, okay.
It's just it's required for Olympics. It's weird. But it's
a prerequisite.
We're all learning this whole Olympic process
sort
right now.
Sort of an elective,
but
like in college.
We're going to Lemoore. We're actually surfing at a wave pool, our next event. It's called the Freshwater Pro at the Surf Ranch in Lemoore.
Oh, wow.
Middle of nowhere. Cow. Like, it's crazy. It's so funny. You get the wind blowing one way, and you get the smell of cows, and then you get the other way. And you smell the Tachi, like, Palace and Casino. It's pretty funny. It's just a totally different vibe. But it's really cool because it is so different for surfing, I think, to experience it. And, yeah, so we'll be doing that the end of September. And then I'm off to Europe for 2 events.
Nice. Well, we're definitely going to be rooting for you. We hope you can make it. And that when we hopefully get to see that when the Olympics do come, we go, we know her. So
yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be rooting
I'll be
for
honest.
You. Yeah, we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much, man. Take care. Oh, so nice.
Bye. Thank you.
Take care. Have a good one.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! So there you go. So
yeah, one of the real surfers
real
of the world. Yeah,
an Olympic surfer. You know, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the different types of people that come together for this event and everything. It just blows my mind.
I love talking to people that, you know, do something and then share it. You know, they don't just do it for themselves. They're accomplished and they have something that they're really good at. And they reach out and share it with people that wouldn't have the opportunity otherwise.
Yeah, you know, and it's just, there comes a point, and I think in somebody's career, where you need to do that, you know, because mm-hmm. you've been fortunate enough. And to me, it doesn't matter what level you're at, but, you know, like for me, I've been very, very fortunate as a musician myself to have the different experiences that I've had. And, you know, and the people that it's allowed me to meet,
mm-hmm.
you know, And, of course, I haven't played as much as I would like in the recent years, mainly because we do the podcast. But at the same token, if we didn't do the podcast, we wouldn't have had these experiences that we're having now.
I know. This is...
you know, and so...
It was amazing. But, I love it.
You know, it's... you know, which is sometimes, too, I love to have students and everything because I can give them my 30 years of being a musician and say, hey, I want to pass on as much knowledge as I can to you so you can become better than I am, because that's my goal, is to make you better than me. And I've had some of those students who have become better than me. One of them's a luthier, and he knows how to make his own guitars now, electric guitars.
Cool.
And he's into jazz, and God, his speed is phenomenal. I've had another student go out and tour with a band. And so, you know, and thankfully I can say that they started with me. You know, I give them the tools that they need to do those things, to be on tour and to say, turn around and go, what key are we in? You know, if they're sitting in with somebody, what key are we in or whatever? And they can play with confidence, you know. Same thing here. You've got somebody like Courtney who's a professional surfer, been around the world, and to give back to something like this, you know, no matter what, she's out here doing what she loves to do, which is surfing, and now just sharing that experience with these kids and adults, you know, for that matter, too.
And I guess you could say sharing it with families.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it just brings everybody together and everything. And it's just wonderful. So, you know, to see Pelican, to see Courtney do these things that they do, that's why we support AWOW. You know, and I'm so glad that, you know, I've met Swampy for different reasons. You know, I mean, of course, we're fans of Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, yeah.
And to meet the, you know, one of the co-creators and to become friends with him and Dan to boot, you know. But then to be exposed to something like this and see something that is dear to Swampy's heart.
Right.
Because he's a surfer himself. He loves to go out. And he's sharing this thing also. And to share it with us and for us to come out, it's just wonderful. It's just a wonderful. And, you know, like I said, we're going to keep saying it. It's a family day. It brings the families together. Because, again, not just for the kids who have those special needs, but for their siblings to say, hey, you know, this is the first time I got to do something because of my sibling.
Right.
Together. Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's not one of those things where you just take the child to something and drop them off and then pick them up later. It's something
which,
you go
which
and,
are good, too, though.
Yeah, they know. Can be some good things, but this is something everybody can do themselves.
Everybody in
together.
The family. The whole family goes into the water. The whole family surfs. You know, and that's one thing, too, that we, Your Weekly Dose, enjoy about it, and we'll support it as long as we're on the air, and as long as Swampy's doing it too, you know, we'll definitely be a part of it. So, but yeah, good times, good day, and everything. So, where are we at? We're pretty much at the end of the show, aren't we?
Yeah.
We
got some juice generator going.
All right. Well, that's all right. Okay. So we're pretty good. Yeah.
I know we're running autonomously here on the beach.
And that's the tough part with us, you know, of doing this.
Yeah,
you
there's
know.
No source of power where we are, so we have to provide our own battery and generator.
I mean, yeah, no, we are literally on the beach. You know, there's no cables, no nothing at all whatsoever. And surprisingly, you know, we have this little generator that Zach got us a year ago.
And it's like the little engine that could.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is.
That's a good analogy, Zach. I like that.
I was going to go with Energizer Bunny, but I thought that would
No, the engine that could, yeah. And we did exactly that. Mm-hmm. So, but again, you know, we're going to be going off here in a few moments, but come down to this event. This event is going to last all day long. It goes until 4 o'clock. Come down, check it out. You know, bring the family. Again, it's just a beautiful day down here at Bolsa Chica. And,
this is why I live in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know everybody has their opinion about, well, we need to get out of California for this reason or that reason. No, go to the beach on a day like this, and this is where you want to be.
Well, you know, that's the thing about Southern California, especially. It's such a hard place to live. It is a little bit higher and of cost of living, granted. But it gives you everything. You know,
the feelings you get.
Well, not just, but I'm saying is,
if you don't like the beach, you've got the mountains. Mm-hmm. If you don't like the mountains, you've got the beach. If you don't like Knott's Berry Farm, you got Disneyland. You've got the high desert area if you want to get out and do other things, you know. If you don't like basketball, you got the Lakers, you know. I mean, it's just so many different things, you know. You've got the Dodgers, the Angels,
and
everything.
If you don't like Taco Bell, you got Chipotle.
Exactly, you know, or Del Taco, you know.
Yeah, well, you can go surfing in the morning and skiing in the afternoon.
And there's no other place but Southern California that you can do that. And I've known friends of mine to do that, to go up to Big Bear and ski in the morning, you know, and then come back down halfway through the day because they're done, and then come down to the beach and then surf in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no joke. I want Del Taco now.
That's as serious as a heart attack.
Del Taco.
Okay, all right. Okay. Since we're talking about that now, and since they're a Southern California thing, okay, Five Guys or In-N-Out?
What? Five Guys or In-N-Out?
Hey. Thanks, guys. So, yeah, so In-N-Out or Five Guys?
I've only had Five Guys once, so I can't really
Had it several times. They put one in when I was living in Mission Viejo. They put one in down the street, and I started going to it, and it's very good.
Yeah.
It is very good. There's several that are very good. There's small variations, but, you know, there's different kinds. Like, there's one that's half bacon, the 50-50 burger, and... And, you know, it's just...
As good as In-N-Out is, as good as it is, Five Guys, I think, gives you more options.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And they give it, they do it for free. Because, you know, you go into these other places and go, well, I want mushrooms on it. Well, that's $1.50 more. Fuck no!
Well, we don't have it.
I want her mushrooms.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So, you know, and that's just it. But, I mean, you could put mushrooms on it. You could put the A1 steak sauce on it or whatever. You know, just like, So I like the Five Guys, but I do love the taste of the In-N-Out, though. It's it's good either way.
I'm kind of weird. Sometimes I just love Wendy's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I get extra mayonnaise, and I'm just like,
oh, you lost
something
me there.
About the Wendy's burger that does it for me.
Why mayonnaise?
Not everybody.
Well, mayonnaise are for Gentiles who just like to have white stuff, you know? Mm.
Yeah. Put some mayonnaise, of that white stuff on there.
Mayonnaise stands for maniacs.
Hey, I put mayonnaise on my... oh, my God.
On your God?
Stop looking at the girls going by and just say it. Jeez, oh. This happened last year with you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, don't act like you're innocent.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying I am. I'm just not saying it on the air.
Hi, oh,
where were we?
Well, maybe that concludes the show then.
Yeah, everybody come to
the
beach.
Yeah, I think so too.
No,
yeah.
Something for everybody.
Okay. I had beach questions. That's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, go ahead.
Well, do we want to do some? You can
want to?
You can play that music, Lowell. And
no. Well, that was the end one though.
Yeah, just like
what beach questions did you have?
Good ones.
What are we standing in?
Sand.
Very good. What's blowing off the ocean towards us?
Wind.
Man, we sound like a boy band over here.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
What's that blue green stuff out there?
Seaweed.
You guys were close.
Kelp.
It's called water.
Water. Yeah, we should end the show now. Then yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah. Let's end the show.
We're getting crazy.
I want to go in the water.
Ooh, I know. I almost wore my stuff, but I'm like,
oh my gosh.
This has been fun. I got to say, this was a fun show for me.
It's always fun when we come down.
Yeah, but it just being here and enjoying this, experience this, it just puts a smile on my face.
That's because you're looking at the girls go by with their butts hanging out.
That too.
She's out.
Boobs, butts, and beers. That's what I do right now.
And we've descended back into the gutter.
Yeah, we have.
Well, not the gutter. I wouldn't call that the gutter at all.
I'm going to stay here this time.
Well, a big thank you to Randy, Courtney, and Pelican for allowing us to be here, and to Scott, too, and Desi, for allowing us to broadcast from AWOW.
And it's just, thank you so much. Just, again, a beautiful day. If you get a chance, come down to the beach today, man. It is just gorgeous today. Next week, we'll be back in the studio. And do we have a guest next week?
No, week after.
Week after, okay. So, so we'll be back in the studio next week. I have no idea what we're doing, but we do have a big announcement, though. That's
yes.
for sure.
Are we going to announce next week?
Yeah, because I think the following week is when we're starting. So, okay, yeah, the 7th.
Cool.
So
it's going to be fun.
You know, you guys are going to enjoy it. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
And anytime, so go out there and have fun or come down to the beach and say hi to everybody here at AWOW. So until then, we will see you guys next week and take care of one another.
Go out and kiss your fish. Goodbye, world. Up, up and go sing with the motion of the ocean. Whirlpool, swirling, cascading, whirling.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.